to Across the Park, where today we are celebrating International Women's Day. That's right, a day dedicated to one of Australia's much-loved and highest-selling women's magazines. Founded in 1953, Women's Day magazine...
Joel. Yeah. It's International Women's Day, as in a day to celebrate women. We're celebrating women. It's got nothing to do with magazines.
Nah.
Ah, shit.
Match sticks.
I'm just ordering some dinner.
Don't ruin the dinner of this show.
Oh, you actually still recording?
Wow.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park. It is me, Gabby, your resident womanly co-host, taking over today because, hey, why not? And because Across the Park and 2SER are celebrating International Women's Day today. Today we're highlighting all the fabulous women that continue to pave the way for equality around the world. And of course, women who continue to try and smash that glass ceiling of the heavily dominated sporting industry. We are putting the ladies to the front. We're covering all the females in all the codes and the sports and the games and the things today. This year's International Women's Campaign theme is Balance for Better, which is not also relevant for gender balance, but it's also very relevant for sport. You need balance in all types of things, right? In life and everything.
Absolutely.
But first, here with me, as per usual, it wouldn't be Across the Park without my resident men, my allies, my boys, my biggest nerd burgers buddies, Joel Kasem to my right and Mick Radojkovic.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
You look much better in that chair than Joel.
Thank you. Thank
not
you
a chair
very
there,
much.
Mate. It's not a chair.
Chair.
Oh, sorry.
I am standing.
We're in the stand-up studio.
But I'm very excited today because we have a studio full of estrogen and I'm very, very happy about it. We've got some special sporting guests hailing from Melbourne with some very serious sporting credentials and history. We have some of the presenters from the podcast Giants Women Say. We've got Emma Phillips and Nat Morgan. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
You know, you're our first guest, you realise.
Is that right?
Yeah,
you really are.
It's really exciting. Oh my God, you are too.
We're still pretty new. We're still getting through it, but it's exciting to have guests. And you're going to set the standard for the guests that are all to come.
And no pressure.
It makes me more nervous again.
Well, we heard your shout out last week saying, oh, and 2SER do a, you know, women's footy podcast about GWS, except that no one knew the name of it and none of you have listened to it. And I heard crickets. But thanks. You've made up for it by having us here today.
Yes, definitely.
That's why you're here to help promote your podcast because, you know, probably more people will listen to your podcast than ours. You've got
absolutely.
More likes.
Like, we'll go check the numbers afterwards.
Please don't. It'd be so embarrassing for us. So embarrassing. Yes, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about both of your sporting sort of credentials and history and how you sort of got to where you are now doing a podcast.
Well, I grew up in Melbourne but never played footy down there, and then I moved up to Sydney, played a couple of other sports and eventually got into the AFL when it started back in 2000 and got to play it at rep level and a couple of national tournaments and things like that. So it was fantastic, and I still play AFL Nines at Marrickville, Mick, on a Monday night.
Oh,
is that
yeah.
the comp you don't,
that's
don't
the
get
one I'm trying to get
up?
Into.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Have you seen my team
haven't
down
seen
there?
You down there. Yeah, we beat them last week.
Yeah, which one?
There's still a player short, but they're not going to call you.
What's the name of your team?
We were called... Oh, see, now I've forgotten.
Yeah.
What? This is why you aren't on the team.
I've forgotten. Goal?
Goal squad.
Goal squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No good.
What? Yeah, as in what? They were there and I wasn't? Or
yeah, no, that's right. No, one player short and everything, but they were happy.
Oh!
They called up the 14-year-old.
This is not right.
The 14-year-old boy on the sideline got a game, but not you.
Now, they won't have us back.
Yeah. No, we will. Oh, I will. I will make that happen.
In fact, Gabby, you said that International Women's Day, if Emma and I do a good job, the boys can go permanently.
Yeah.
Is that right?
This is what's happening.
That's it.
Fair enough.
It's International Women's Day every day.
Every day. How could you live in Melbourne and not play AFL?
Yeah, I don't think I even saw a game being played. And truthfully,
yeah, right.
Back when I grew up, if you ever saw it in the newspaper, say on a Sunday, truthfully, they always showed the biggest, fattest, tattooist, short-haired women playing. It was never promoted in a healthy, you know, fit what Amazons, these women are, who are now playing the game. It was a different game back there, and it's certainly changed. And I would love my kids to play these days if the option was available. But no, these days it's a great game.
Yeah.
And what about you, Emma? What's some of your...
Yeah, that perception of women's footy actually kept me from playing, I think, when I was a teenager or in my early 20s.
And it kept you away?
It kept me away, not because I didn't want to be there in that, but I had some women around me who were just a bit, you know, afraid of that, I suppose, and sort of said, nah, maybe don't play footy, you know.
Fearful of, like,
bigger bodies,
dominant, kind of tough kind of contact sport.
I mean, I had that perception of prison guards running the game.
And, yeah, right, yeah.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but it just wasn't something that the adults around me wanted me to be involved in. So, anyway, it was mid-20s before I played in Melbourne, and I ended up playing about 17 years of AFL.
Wow.
So, you know, quite amazing. And I also played at rep level and captained my club for a couple of years. And I have the pleasure now of seeing a number of my ex-teammates play in the AFLW. So it's kind of a real buzz to see that. Sort of, it's bittersweet in some ways because just, you know, pushing it at 41 years of age and missing out. But
yeah, it's hard.
Not that I would have been a startup, that's for sure.
So when you guys were younger, did you play any other sports that were more available to younger women?
Yeah.
For me, it was soccer, and I still played in an all-boys team because there wasn't enough girls to play.
Yeah.
But did you start somewhere?
And yeah. I played every sport under the sun. I was that kind of kid who went for, like, basketball, netball, volleyball, cricket for a long time. I played hockey for quite a while. I played table tennis with my mum for a few years, actually at
like
competition
proper,
level.
Really? Oh, right.
Yeah, seriously.
There's a ping pong comp that we need to take you to after this and we can get some money.
Not just beer pong.
No.
Actually, real deal. Yeah. Yeah, so it was a while. And, you know, coming to footy was like sort of the dream come true because I think if you love sport, you sort of – AFL's got this really free-flowing. You can use your legs and your arms
totally.
And your whole body, and you can tackle and you can run the length of the field. And, you know, it's a very free game. So
yeah, for sure.
It was liberating.
Yeah, I think I played AFL for the first time last year actually with these guys in the Community Cup and just fell in love with it. I didn't really know that much about it. Would watch a little bit, but playing it, because I used to play soccer quite, you know, it's quite seriously. And I was like, oh my God, I'm 30 now. I wish I found this sport 5 years ago or six, whatever, when I was sort of fit and ready to play contact sport, because there was no contact sport that I could play. And every time I wanted to play, it was mostly male dominated and I didn't have any way of kind of getting into it. So I feel kind of the same. I feel a bit sad that I'm older now that I can't really.
Don't let that stop you.
No.
There's still like, there's now divisions here in Sydney, which when it first started
grown.
Was only first division. So now you can find your slot, whether it's seconds, thirds, maybe still in the ones. There's no reason not to play. You wouldn't be the oldest. A mate of ours, Chris Matthews, shout out to her. I think she was 52 when she stopped playing
in
the first division.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, there's no reason.
I think I just feel old and vulnerable. Like, I'm just, like, so fearful.
The body starts falling apart when you hit 30.
Yeah, it does. Like, it would take me a lot to get back there. And it's different playing in playing contact sport like that. Like, you really are on edge. I'm just like, where's somebody going to come now?
It probably won't help you, Gabby, to learn that I fractured my hip last
season.
Oh,
wow.
In a bad, bad tackle.
Oh, the pain just really went shooting tackle. Down my side then. Yeah.
How long does that keep you out for?
I was on crutches for 3 months and then another few months of rehab. So, you know, it was frustrating because I decided to retire just before that happened anyway. So,
So what happened?
Not a fun end. It was I had the ball and didn't see her coming. You know, the 360 game, you don't see where people are coming from necessarily, and just got tackled from behind and sort of driven forward. And she actually fell on me and apologized straight away. I don't think she was being malicious, but just one of those really crazy kind of – yeah.
Oh, that is...
You.
So, yeah, but, you know, great girls, get into the game.
Yeah. Don't worry about hips. Your hips are fine. It's fine. They fix themselves. Yeah.
Emma, you had this story that you have to tell us about because, we were speaking through the week and you said there was a story about a grand final. No, it wasn't even a grand final. It was just a regular game, right? And someone went to the bathroom at three-quarter time. Can you tell us that story?
Oh, we had a woman playing with us whose nickname was Paris after Paris Hilton. That gives you a kind of a sense of who she might be. And she was notorious for floating in and out of the club. Fantastic footballer, really outstanding. And also a boxer, in fact. And she decided three-quarter time, I think, came up to us at the huddle and said, look, I've got to go to the toilet. I'll be back in a sec. And we didn't see her for 12 months.
What? You fall in.
Look, it was open-armed when she arrived back, though.
Wow.
What happened?
Don't know.
She never explained.
Nobody asked.
Wow.
Wow.
It's best not to ask, I think. Paris these questions.
Oh my God, we need to get Paris on the show.
Find out what truly happened.
Yeah.
The mystery.
I'd love to think that she came back two. Like the fourth quarter of another game.
Yeah, just continue. Sorry. Time machine. Yeah, and she like, just accidentally like jumped in a time machine,
she had
ducked
no
somewhere
idea.
Else and then came back to the wrong year accidentally and kept playing fourth quarter. I was like, oh, wait, is this the wrong game?
You guys look different. Yeah. There's a lot of new people. I don't know these people. That's fantastic. What a great story.
That's so good.
The AFLW season is... Oh, it's actually almost over. And you guys are obviously doing this podcast about GWS and all the teams. How are you seeing this season going?
Well, it's been only 7-week competition and we've played 5 games. So it's crazy short.
So short.
Yeah, it's a frustrating conference situation these days. GWS haven't had a great time of it. They've only won 1 game out of those 5. They still keep talking, oh, we're still a chance, but really, I think the earth's going to swallow.
As they
were
mathematically
yeah,
coming out.
Yeah, that's it.
As soon as that comes out, you know
you're
gone.
No good. So it's been very disappointing for them because they were talked up to be up in the finals and that's just not happening. It's the teams who are playing well, Adelaide, Frio and North Melbourne. Yeah, they've been a clear standout, and so one of them will miss out on the finals with the crossover of the conference playoffs and things like that.
Okay.
But Adelaide are just spectacular at the moment. They've won a grand final in the first year and they are looking like they'll do it again this year, I believe.
Mm. Okay.
Crazy old conference system, though, that they've got.
Yeah, what is all of that? I mean, that changed from last year, right?
Yeah. They added 2 teams, split everybody into 2 conferences and reduced the number of games they were playing.
Yeah.
And next year there's another 4 teams joining the competition as well. Okay.
So they'll have
God
one
knows.
Round.
Yeah.
and
the highest score wins.
Everyone just goes out in one big game.
And what do you guys think of the AFLX, which also happened to come out just as the women's?
You know that little whammy?
We can
insert that here.
There we go.
Very good.
Yeah.
Sums it up. I don't mind the fun and games and the players are loving it and the crowds come along. The amount of money that was invested that is disgraceful compared to the amount of money that they say they haven't got for the AFLW. It's really disappointing.
Hypocrisy.
I think those players, the men's were playing, the players were receiving, I think, $50,000 for that night.
Yeah.
And whole new outfits and weekends away. And they didn't tackle each other once in a single game. It was like keepings off. It was a bit of fun and games, whereas the women are out there for the 7 weeks finals or the 3-month period that the whole sort of comp and training is around. And most of the players are getting $8,000 for that whole time. Hmm. So it's really disappointing.
It's so disappointing.
Anyone like AFLX? Have you met anyone who likes AFLX?
We didn't know about it.
Yeah. Until I kind of brought it up, I was like, does anyone know about this? Like, this is so annoying and frustrating.
It's crazy. And the other waste of money is the girls are playing a double header tomorrow at Marvel Stadium, I think it's called. And so they're wearing these jerseys have been designed sort of Captain Marvel-y, a bit like what the men wore the other night with stars and bells and whistles. And they're disgusting. They look so stupid. The girls have said, we're not going to wear them.
They
don't really represent their clubs at all, so they're going to warm up in them. But the cost of printing up all those jerseys for all the clubs, their money is just being thrown away. It's just really disappointing.
Bit of extra landfill.
Yeah, it's what we need. Men taking over in landfill. So we can just move on to some sporting headlines. Do you guys have a look at some of the sporting headlines? We've kind of covered the AFL, right?
Unless you guys wanted to talk more about AFL. Like,
no, we'll save that for our podcast.
Okay. Yeah. don't waste the good stuff here.
I wanted to just bring up something because marking some amazing history, a Saudi Arabian woman has made history being the first ever female presenter to commentate the Gulf Women's Football Tournament, which is unbelievable. So she's the first female ever to do any sort of sports commentating in Saudi Arabia.
That's great. Yeah.
But I'm going to pronounce her name. It's Halil Al-Fajjar, maybe. I'm sorry if that's incorrect, but congratulations to her. Very exciting.
Indeed.
Excellent. I wanted to talk about the soccer first because that was the most recent thing I watched, the Matildas game. It was fantastic. I love watching the Matildas
game. Can I sing the Cup of Nations song again?
Yes, please do.
No, I won't. It's the Cup of Nations! I don't know. That was great.
Look, I just wanted to say, obviously the Matildas lifted the trophy.
The tournament we made up, we won.
Yeah. They smashed Argentina 3-0. I had the story about Claire Polkinghorne. Do we know her? She's
Queenslander.
Yeah, yep. So she plays for the Brisbane Roar. There's this really, really sweet video doing the rounds. I don't know if anyone's seen it. So you've seen it?
Yeah,
it's on all cute. The socials. You can find it like Facebook, MySpace, ICQ. So yeah, she plays for the Brisbane Roar, and there was this fan, 11-year-old fan named Harper, which is a great name, by the way. That's my niece's name. She's talking to down the camera about how much she loves the W League and the Matildas, and she's always just mentioning Claire and how much she loves her.
Oh.
And then she's out the front, like she's got like a scrapbook, I think, and she's sort of flicking through it. And Claire sort of walks around the corner and the tears just start. Oh. It's so beautiful. Like, oh. She's such a big fan and loves the game. And that's, I just think that's such a fantastic outlook. Like, the future for women's sport is just looking so much better with kids like this and they have people to look up to. Like, you know, in the men's, you look up to drop kicks most of the time. But the women's teams are so good and full of so many great people. Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. That's all I wanted to say about that.
I'm definitely going to be watching that and crying.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
In the cricket, can we talk cricket?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gabby doesn't like cricket.
Yeah.
Look, I like playing it. I just can't handle watching it.
Takes all day. I was wrapped. My son played on a Friday night, a modified version a couple of years ago, and he hated it and we were so happy. Who wants to start their weekend sitting at a park for 3 hours? So thank God we've got our front row back.
What's wrong with all you people? Seriously, cricket is the most refined and subtle sport in the world. Tune in, you'll get the goods.
Oh, one of my favourite fathering moments was when my daughter played like her first game of like cricket at like under 12s or something it was, and she literally had the ball on the sideline and threw it in, hit the stumps from like right out on the boundary.
Yeah, but that's just
and I was
like,
I was so proud. I was like, oh my God. I think she played
like
two more games.
A minute within the 3 hours, though. Like, there's that little bit. Of, like, yeah.
You were
it's
lucky
just
you
so
weren't
slow
when that happened.
Exactly.
So the Southern Stars have wrapped up. We've been talking about the Rose Bowl. It seems like for weeks now.
Yeah,
it was only three games. So the 3 1-day internationals against New Zealand, they won again three in a row. New Zealand were first at bat. They ended with 8 for 231. Ashley Gardner just had a great game. She was she's a spinner, so as soon as they brought her on, that was it.
Yeah, can't handle it.
They really couldn't. And Australia finished with, I don't have the score here. Well done, Joel. But they did really well and they won. Yet again, Elise Perry. I think she finished the summer with a batting average of 167.
That is
stupid.
Whoa. And yet she didn't win the Belinda Clark medal.
Yes,
went to
I know.
Healy
but
instead.
I think, yeah. Well, she's, yeah.
They're both stars.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think Elise Perry won like the last two in a row. So
she has, yes.
She had a round. <Not Elise. laughs> That's all I got for cricket, Gab.
Thank God for that. You had a cycling news update.
I was going to take that to rugby first.
Oh, yeah.
Look, this is probably not, you know, the most feel-good story, but it is pretty...
It's juicy.
It's good one. The Wallaroos captain,
Liz. Did you guys see this?
Liz Patu, took a bit of a chomp out of an actual like teammate from the Wallaroos.
I didn't realise this till afterwards, like heaps later.
So it's just, but it's, and the thing is, it made it into GIF form, and they've put it onto like Twitter, and you can just see like it's like arm, but the arm's like right in her mouth, like
yeah.
And I've always wondered what it'd be like. To just have like a to be like in a tackle like that, and someone's like arm is just like in there, and you're just trying to get out, and like I don't know, you open your mouth and
have a
little, I don't know, nibble. Is it just like an instinct to just
it can't be.
Well, she would have had a mouth guard in as well.
Yeah.
Oh
but
yeah, of course.
But the teeth marks apparently you could be seen. It must have been pretty hard. Chomp. Yeah.
I did like one of the articles though. They did name. So she's the Australian captain, but they did call her the Kiwi-born Australian captain.
Yes.
So we've decided.
Oh, yeah. We own and disown at will, don't we, with the Kiwis? Yes. So good. That is so spicy. But it wasn't even like a little like, oh, get out of the way kind of nibble. It was like a full, looked like she wanted to take some of her flesh with her. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe they play together. Like, what do you do after that? Mate, why'd you bite me?
Well, she got 6 weeks, suspended for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
which is the end of the season.
Yeah.
That's it. She can't play again.
Yeah, there you go. I made headlines though. I was like, "Whoa, there you go."
Yeah,
it's not just guys have a chomp. Everyone gets a bit hungry now and then.
But it was funny because she denied it well, she didn't really say anything when the ref came up to her. Yeah. It kind of looked like she denied it. But then the camera, it's like the camera's right there just watching the whole thing, and you just hear the, like, everyone just saying, ooh, yeah, nope, you're definitely bitter.
Yeah. In the cycling, we had the women's annual Omloop Het Nieuwsblad.
Well done.
Is that right?
I have no idea, but that sounded really good.
Oh, it does. It's like a race in Belgium, so I can't speak. What do they speak in Belgium? French? Belgian?
Belgian.
I just wanted to see you struggle then.
Anyway, so there was a men's race and a women's race in the cycling event, and they had a 10-minute gap between the start of the men's and the women's. I guess, you know, separate them by 10 minutes. But that didn't quite go to plan because the women, specifically Swiss cyclist Nicole Hanselmann, caught up to the men. And, you know, if you caught up to the men, why wouldn't they just let them go? Maybe she could have overtaken all the men and just kept on going and won both races.
What, they physically stopped her?
Yes. I actually said, okay, oh, so you've got to stop. You've caught up.
You're too good.
Yeah. You've got too good.
Can I say that they said they stopped her to reset the gap? And I thought, that's a pretty good metaphor. Yeah.
whoa, don't close that.
Do not catch up.
Come on. So after being allowed to resume, Hanselmann was given a head start on the peloton, but she was then reeled in and finished 74th. She didn't actually win. But imagine you're getting stopped like that. Yeah, maybe she's on a roll and she was...
That's the worst thing to do. Just don't know. Momentum.
Right. Lost her momentum and a cadence and everything. And often there's awards for the most aggressive rider in a race. And so there's points and money allocated to those sort of things in those professional races. So she may have been caught eventually anyway. Often that happens in the last 5-10 Ks with the peloton chasing. But she would have got nothing out of that day except for... sad photos, you know.
Yeah, and these news articles about catching. Yeah,
that's yeah,
stop
yeah.
sign. That's so frustrating.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, interesting story. Anyway,
yeah.
You got a game yet?
Yeah,
nearly.
Gab, do you want to do a game?
Let's do the game. All right. Hang on, wait. Let me just get the.
No, you take your time, please.
Okay, no, I'm ready.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
Who knows the truth of things?
Who knows the truth of things?
Truth.
Truth.
It's a true or false game, as opposed to Joel's boring games. It's based on pure intellectual skill. Please bring your minds to the game. So I'm gonna state true or false and give you a statement, and then you all have to say it together, because I think that if we go around and you're all gonna take bits of information from each other. I don't want cheating. This is not how it works.
Okay.
So you say it together, and then whoever gets the right answer goes home with a car.
All right.
It's
better
car.
Than Joel, okay. too.
All right. Question one. Hands on buzzers. True or false? Samantha Harris was named Young Australian of the Year in 2018. Go.
True.
You're on, Gab.
Oh, dear. We suck.
Who's Samantha Harris, guys? She's an Australian model. It was actually Samantha Kerr who got Young Australian of the Year.
Whoa, we suck.
Yes, you've all heard of Samantha Kerr.
That was a trick question.
You should have said to us, did Samantha Kerr win Young Australian of the Year? And we should have all said true.
Yeah. Gab.
So obviously, we have no idea who won Australian of the Year.
It's tricky, this game, isn't it?
Please listen to the questions. True or false? The winner of the Ballon d'Or, I think that's how you say it, was asked to twerk whilst on stage whilst receiving their award.
True.
True.
Come again.
Yeah, we all saw that.
I don't know. You guys got the first one wrong. That was super easy.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was true.
About that. Were you not here that week?
Oh,
you may have been away that week.
We discussed it.
I can't remember.
Well, our guests might have not known. So, but yes, it was true. Norwegian footballer Ada Hegerberg, the first female footballer actually to ever be awarded the Ballon d'Or, is that how you say it, was not asked about her sporting credentials. She was just asked by the French DJ Martin Solveig if she knew how to twerk. It was very embarrassing.
Her reaction
for him.
Was amazing too.
So yeah. good.
I
just realised that we already spoke about this before.
Good.
So this is a pretty easy one, actually. True or false? True or false? The first season of the AFLW began in Feb 2015.
False.
False.
Oh.
It was 2017, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. Can you remember what month?
It would have been February.
You get the car.
You get a car.
Okay. True or false? The average lifespan of a baseball is 7 pitches.
Oh.
1, 2, 3.
False.
True.
Oh.
True.
Damn. Well done, Rick. So what does that mean? So seven, it gets thrown 7 times.
It's similar to that one I was talking about the other day with the footballs, and they only last like, and they make like, kill so many cows to make all these leather balls for the NFL. And the balls don't last a game, like baseballs. They hardly last
a game.
Or are
they hit out into the crowd with fly balls and things like that? And so once they're in the crowd, they don't come back.
Yeah.
You're allowed to keep them. So maybe that adds to the fact.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. That's a good one.
Yeah. But did it say, like, they actually come apart?
It didn't really say. One of those, like, really bad BuzzFeed articles. It's just
fake news.
Yeah, we might need to get our producer onto that too.
Yes, our producer. We never talk about our producer.
I know,
we should talk about our producers, because we have more than one. We should talk about them occasionally.
It's all their fault.
All right. I reckon. I just realised that you all really know sport, and these are quite hard for me. Elise Perry was the youngest person to play both cricket and rugby at the World Cup.
False. Soccer.
Nice try.
Everyone knows that.
I thought if I said it really fast, maybe you wouldn't notice.
Cricket and rugby. Where?
Rugby.
I actually remember, just related to that, when she was starting out, and she was like 17 or 18 and playing both sports, there was another radio station that used to do this thing every week where they would bring Elise Perry in and they would try and beat her at something. So
I remember this.
They had like a, you know, it might be just like throwing a ball into a cup, or it might be, I can't remember all the things they did, but there was a whole bunch of different like events, and they could never beat her. Like every single thing they ever tried to do to beat her, she would win everything. She's just like a freak.
Yeah, totally.
At sport, at activities in general.
Yeah. Well, she was 16 when she went and played rugby and cricket.
Yeah, yeah. So that's probably when she was, it was like, you know, on the youth radio station across the road.
Oh, yes, that one.
Yes, that one.
The one with three letters.
It was Triple J, like you can say it.
Why would we? All right, guys. Last question, or I do have some other questions, but we'll see how you go. True or false? In netball, players are allowed to lift teammates up to defend the goal.
True.
1, 2, 3.
True. She nodded, so I'm going,
oh, look at Matt. And
Matt yeah, gave away.
I only found this out yesterday.
It is a new introduction to the game, and it came in through the Fast Five, I think it was, which is the modified version of netball, just to create a bit of atmosphere. So one defender can lift the other one up to sort of.
It's like rugby style.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But they have modified that now, because you can't do it while it's on the down flight.
Okay.
So you can only do it on the up flight.
You've learned something. Yeah. Well done.
But I can't, like, that's so cool. You just throw something in the air. That makes netball way more interesting.
So wait, is that to block it or to
to block it. So your teammate, like, throws you up in the air.
Far out.
Yeah.
Is that normal but netball as well now? Like, or just a Fast Five?
No.
I think it's all netball.
It's all netball.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
okay.
Did you know, you probably all know, but you can hold onto someone's shirt if they're, like, defending and leaning over.
No.
Did not know that.
Oh, question.
You gotta say
that. Oh, that is so annoying.
Save that up for next week's questions.
Yes, yeah. Congratulations. I think, Nat, you definitely won that.
Thank you. Who wants a ride home?
Yes, please. Oh, well done on the game, Gab. That was amazing.
Well done,
I did have another really I went down one path and it got really obscure, and I tested it on a friend and they were like, this doesn't make any sense. And I was like, oh, God, I'm going to have to just do the old true and false.
why didn't it make sense?
Well, it was like, this is one of them. You got to guess what it is, obviously. I'm round and high with leathery objects flying at me.
Like a hoop.
Oh, fuck. What kind of hoop? You got to be specific.
Basketball. Yeah. Basketball.
You didn't get my first one. I have a spiky sole. I'm sweaty, and I live on the feet of old rich white men.
Golfing.
Oh, shoes. God, you guys are good.
Well, that was good.
This is a sports program, isn't it? You should know these things.
Well, well, guys, that is it. Happy International Women's Day. We're very proud of all the women in our lives. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nat Morgan and Emma Phillips, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Yes.
And yes, next week, we didn't talk about it this week, but Mick was on Pointless. He was on TV.
We can talk about it next week.
We'll do a big rundown of it next week.
Yeah.
100%. I have so much gear.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Can you believe? Brown cow. Stunning. You're a homosexual.
I care about you.
I just immediately turned that off. Like, song's over. No more intro song. It's over.
It's cancelled.
Done. My name is Ruby Innes, and you are listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. Fortunately, Patrick is not here. That sounds shady, but the tea is that he is not a woo man. He is a man's, and it is International Women's Day, so we thought that it would be highly inappropriate for him to be hosting the show, so I've kicked him off forever. He's not hosting the show. I'm kidding. He's definitely hosting the show with me for the rest of the time being, but not today, because it is the Women's Day. It is the International Women's Day. So instead, I am here guest hosted with the lovely Jazz Breen, who is the current women's officer at UCID, and then also the former queer officer at UCID, and future old lady.
Hello. Hi.
I like to think that you'll be like a really cute little old lady.
Oh, thank you. I hope I'm like a little bit grumpy.
Older. I'm of the opinion that I'm going to be like just a really shit old lady.
Yeah, I hope I get to the point where I'm just like so over everyone's shit that I'm just like terribly mean.
Oh, I'm just going to be like I'll sound awful. Yeah. I'll look terrifying. Mm. I'll smell really bad, and like everyone's going to be super into it. Like I'll be like really shit. Just like a really shit old lady, and everybody's going to be like, "Oh, nonna," or whatever. I'm not even Italian, but like maybe they'll call me like Goo Goo or some shit. Like something cool.
I also just like refuse to keep up with any technology at all, so everyone's just going to have to do everything for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the dream, though. I think that's the best part of becoming old. Everybody just does stuff for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you've got like those shitty grandkids that like they're like, "I don't want to hang out with my grandma in public." It's like, you know what?
I just like, show me how to use whatever version of Vine's being used now. Like,
what are we on? Vine 34 now? Yeah. Is it Vine 34? I can't wait for Vine 34, honestly. I think it's going to be like you can summon the Viner in front of you to like reenact the Vine.
Yeah.
Something fucked like that.
As a Viner, it just sucks so much. You're just constantly being pulled out of your normal life and just like end up in some 13-year-old's bedroom.
Yeah.
Do the Vine.
It's like, do it for the Vine.
You have to do it.
It's like, I just want to go back home to my do it for the Vine. It's like,
So it's your legal obligation
to
do it for
the Vine. Oh, my God, they were roommates. Please let me go. Yeah, something cool like that.
Yeah, cool.
So it is International Women's Day.
It is.
And we will be talking about just girly things.
Just women, you know?
Just women shit. Some very cool stuff. But before we do, we are going to also be playing some very fun and cool music by some beautiful women artists, and this first track is from some personal faves of mine, a beautiful set of LGBT people. This one is from Sportsbra. Love Sportsbra. It's from their new album Talk It Out, which came out earlier this year and is called Precious and Perfect. You're listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. We've got a change. You're listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SCR 107.3 with me, Ruby Innes, and my beautiful guest co-host, Jazz Breen.
Hello.
And that was was from Sports Bra's album Talk It Out, and it's called Precious and Perfect.
As all women are.
Yeah.
Especially today.
As literally all women and gays are.
Yeah.
Precious and Perfect. Like, that's kind of just the beans on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're out here to spill the beans, and that is the beans on that.
That is just the hottest take I've ever heard, and it's so correct.
Yeah. How could you say something so controversial yet so brave?
So brave.
I'm so woke. It's crazy. but great music. And we are here now, and we're going to talk about Jazz, because as I said before, Jazz is the current women's officer at UCID and the former queer officer at UCID. So she really ticks all the boxes for being on this show, which I think is really helpful, honestly. But we're going to talk a little bit about what Jazz does, but also
just things. Just to talk about some things.
Just some women things, you know. So, Jazz, what do you do as women's officer?
I make men really angry. It's actually in my job description to make as many men angry as possible. Also, conservative women, I'm really all about making them angry as well. I organise with the Women's Collective at UCID around things like changing sexual assault policy. We also do some stuff about reproductive health care, so around like abortion and stuff like that. Yeah, fun, interesting things.
Very cool and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, that's great. And, is there anything coming up soon that I guess, we can do for women?
Yeah, funny you mention it. There's actually a march tomorrow.
That's so crazy of me.
So crazy of you. So if you want to get down to the International Women's Day March, it starts at 11 a.m. at Hyde Park North tomorrow morning. Mm. So be there. There's some cool people speaking, some really great women people. They're just great.
Some really great women people. Yeah. Really great women. Lizard people.
Lizard people. Actually, no, it's only women people today. The International Lizard March is next week.
Yeah, the International Lizard Women March is next week. Yeah. We will be there. I will be shedding my skin and showing my true self.
What intersectional feminism is about.
Yeah.
It's about.
Exactly. But, all women, but actually, speaking of international women's intersectional feminism, it's very easy in International Women's Day to kind of not focus on all women. And people be like, oh, my God, International Women's Day. I'm a woman and I'm focusing on myself time. I'm a very beautiful cis white woman and everything's going really good for me. But
it's not all about that, is it?
Yeah, definitely.
I think something that I've definitely realized as International Women's Day is coming up is just the corporate feminism that just gets pushed into the abyss of the world and just how bullshit it is.
It's very similar to how commercialized Mardi Gras is.
Exactly.
Become, for example.
It's pretty much the same thing. Just pink washing and
it's
corporatization of different movements. It did not start as corporate movements.
Yeah, it's like, now that women can vote, I think they should be able to take advantage of capitalism and have workers under them. I think that's really woke and brave.
I think the funniest thing about International Women's Day is the corporate brunches people hold, and they don't even realize or know that International Women's Day pretty much started as just a socialist women's demonstration in Russia in 1914.
Look,
it's we've come a long way. We have brunches now. It's really fun and cool.
We've really come really far. We have brunches. We wear power suits and we exploit workers.
Yeah. I think we're breaking the glass ceilings with the bodies of workers. and it's really fun.
Oh man, it really do be like that though. But I think personally, over the years, in doing International Women's Day, thinking, I've never really celebrated. I mean, I celebrate it as a woman. I celebrate International Women's Day by being really loud and rude, but I do that every day, so I feel like it's fine. But I personally feel like over the years, I've kind of been like trying to focus more on like, you know, the women that aren't focused on as much. So like women of color, queer women of color,
exactly.
And trans women. And like, it's what I've seen recently. Mm. Maybe it's because I'm changing my friend groups, but like what I've seen recently is that that's starting to become quite a wider thing. So we're seeing more people actually pay attention to trans women and women of color. Obviously, we aren't quite there yet.
The focus is changing.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you're with WOCO, the Women's Collective.
Yeah, the Women's Collective.
At UCID.
Yeah.
And, do you think, I wouldn't say do you think, but how important to the Women's Collective is intersectionality and kind of being kind of hyper aware of who is being represented?
Yeah, so it's actually just like the most important thing to WOCO. There's no point in having just like cis white corporate feminism. It doesn't reach anyone except like a small bubble of North Shore private school kids, really. So yeah, it's really, really important. We do a lot of stuff with other groups, so especially groups like FIRE, Fighting and Resistance Equally, which is an Indigenous group, and we do stuff with environmental groups as well. Just because like these are issues that aren't single issues, they're broad spectrum things. They need all types of people to fight together and liberate everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like, we aren't free until we're all free.
Exactly.
Like, that's the tea. Like,
intersectionality or bust.
Yeah, bingo. And like that's fantastic. That's really good. Cause like I personally go to Macquarie University. So, I don't really keep up to date with what's happening in Macquarie, but I do know the former, women's officer at Macquarie, Jasmine Nout, and she's fantastic.
Yeah.
And, from what I've seen, so many women's officers throughout the years have been like consistently like trying to do more and more. And
definitely.
I think that's really beautiful, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Even like working within our own collective to make sure that what we're doing is including all people. We recently have this thing now that one of the two representatives of the collective has to be a woman of color. And, you know, that seems like it's a basic thing, but it wasn't in place until very recently, you know? It's just like working on your own things as well as trying to advocate for outside things as well.
And it's not even like a fucking quota thing. It's just like, no, we need perspectives from different sides of being a woman. Like,
and you also find that when you've got leaders that are of different backgrounds and identities, then the people that relate to those people like join in. And like we've now got like a massive amount of like queer people in the Women's Collective because they feel like it's a safe space for them. And like, it's great. Yeah.
And like there always has been this kind of like not to say fuck men,
but
but not to say, but like there always has been this kind of like, I mean, obviously there are definitely conservative women and homophobic women and transphobic women. That's just how life is. But there always has kind of been this like connection with the LGBT community.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, I think it's this sense of empathy for like kind of shared experience, but also like empathy for in terms of like, oh, we experience oppression in different ways as well. So we can kind of relate on that level.
Sure.
Of course.
Yeah. And it's definitely like the realization that it's the same systems that oppress all of us. Like it happens in different ways, but it's all the same stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now I think it might be time for another song. And then after we have a little song play, we'll talk about like maybe the women and queer people that inspire us,
that we love,
that we just love so honkin' much. So this track comes from Left at London, who is a trans woman from Seattle, Washington. She released this album, Transgender Street Legend Volume 1, late last year, and this track is called Revolution Lover. You're listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3.
Though I feel like the world got smaller, I recall all of the days I've cried. Even if heaven doesn't take us, we tried. But you know I think think if we stick together, maybe we'll become each other's guide. Kinda we'll make it out of this one alive. And we'll be alright. Revolution lover. 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 You know I know that your hope's been missing. I know we both could have almost died. I know it's harder every day to provide. But it's gonna change, I can feel it coming. And when it's here, we'll be side by side. I know we'll make it out of this one alive.
It will be alright.
It will be alright.
A
revolution lover.
You're listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3 with me, Ruby Innes, and of course,
Jazz Breen.
Hell yeah. Oh, that was nice. And that was Revolution Lover by Left at London from her album Transgender Street Legend Volume 1. Great track. Real.
Dancey.
I was going to say funky. It's got like, while being kind of contemporary, it's still kind of very, a bit jazzy for me.
A little bit jazzy.
And
a coincidence.
Like,
my name.
Oh my God, that's you. Didn't even click with me. I was like looking dead in your eyes and being like, it's very jazzy. This is not about you.
It's all about me
and how I think this is very jazzy, not related to you. So great. Amazing. So we're going to talk about the women that inspire us.
Yeah. All those cool women.
There are so many women in the world. I didn't know if you know
there
this.
Are a lot. I wouldn't know the number off the top of my head.
Absolutely not.
We're going to list all of them now.
Every single one. First of all, me. Second of all, Jazz. Third of all, my mom. Fourth of all, Jazz's mom. That's currently four. I'm going to play a song and then we'll get... But no, we're not actually doing that. But how interesting would that be if we knew the names of every single woman?
I think my brain's not big enough for that, actually.
I'm like, I got brain worms that are eating the names of everybody I know to a point where like I'm gonna walk out of my house one day and then just be like, I don't know anybody. I straight up just don't know any names.
You're gonna lose your own name at one point.
Let's be real. There are times where I've like been at work and forgotten my own name. Like I've picked up the phone. I've been like, blah, 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 you're speaking with Ruby. And just that pause makes me really unsure.
The brainworms, they're laughing at you in
that
pause.
Oh God, they're laughing. They are literally like, I can hear like little cackles in my ears. But the cackles, the brainworms in my brain, they're really strong women.
They are really strong.
They're fierce women.
And we appreciate them.
And I think they're really brave. So we're going to talk about the women that inspire us.
Yeah.
So.
Do you want me to go first?
You can go first. We can do a little bit of
Firstly, I reckon all of the women in my life are pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Like, just got to say that. Like, my mom, my grandma, my nan, they're all great.
Yeah.
Also, just like all the badass feminist activists that exist in the world, They're doing their thing. Yeah. They're being doxxed by people, but they're still doing their thing.
They're still continuing to do it, and I think that's really great.
Yeah. And on the point of activists, I think the coolest, possibly the coolest woman just ever is Marsha P. Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just amazing activist. Threw the first brick at Stonewall.
Yeah.
We may joke that it was other people, but it was actually her.
It was definitely her. And, yeah. like, I mean... Like Marsha did, speechless. Marsha took great strides so that so many trans women, while still obviously feeling very uncomfortable in society, feel more comfortable in society.
For sure.
And like she was kind of like at the forefront of the gay rights movement, the trans rights movement, the lesbian rights movement. Yeah. Like it's she's incredible.
Yeah. And it's really, like, good to look back on people like that and to remember, as we were saying before, it wasn't always this, like, corporate pride kind of thing. And, you know, it did start, like, as a riot because it needed to.
Yeah. I mean, like, Mardi Gras started as a protest.
Exactly.
With the 78ers. Like, it was...
Yeah.
We often forget. We often just think, 78ers, are they just old gays? No. No. It's much more than that. It really is. Well, I think that's true. The people, I think, so I personally, I don't know what it is, but I've never really looked up to many public figures.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, it's always been, like, people I know personally. And, like, of course, the strong women in my family, they inspire me because they continue to be doing everything that they're doing. Like, my grandma, she, my baba goes about doing her thing. She's still walking. She's, still shopping. Women be shopping.
Women
like,
be shopping.
We can say it that way, reclaiming that. I'm taking it now. Women are reclaiming, women shopping. Be shopping. Like, we really do be shopping and reclaiming that. My grandma, she's like, she partly raised me and I love her for it. She's this beautiful old Croatian woman, obsessed. I love my mom inspires me. She's really headstrong and confident, and she's always like pushed me to be my best, which I think is really great.
Nice.
And like also like all the women and queer friends that I've had in my life up until now, none in the future. Definitely, I'm going to meet so many amazing women in the future. But like all the friends that I've, all the female friends that I've had, have really like. Morphed me into the person I am today, and like also they just inspire me to be better. Like even you, Jazz, because like I don't know if you guys know this, but like I knew Jazz before she came on this show.
Yeah,
she is my friend, and
we are real friends.
We are real life friends, surprisingly enough. But Jazz, you inspire me.
Layla
inspires me. She is the other women's officer at USID.
Yeah.
Like. There are so many just strong, incredible women that I know that, like, I am so grateful to know because they inspire me. But if I had to choose public figures that inspire me, I'd say, like, many of the queer women that we've had on the show would, like, fantastic. Like, more recently we had Jolene Mateele, and she is a... like Indigenous trans woman from Tonga that is kind of leading the trans movement in Tonga after the rise of religious fundamentalism, and like she inspires me. She's
what a fight to fight,
and yeah, like she's amazing. And then like Lisa Rose from Queer Screen, she is a queer woman that is like at the forefront of like. Queer cinema in Australia, and like she inspires me, but also myself. I inspire myself.
That's so good to hear.
I inspire myself to do great things because you know what? At the end of the day, who's getting me up in the morning?
It's the brainworms.
It's my brainworms. You know who inspires me? My female brainworms. I think they're really brave. I think they're really beautiful, and like I'm so happy to have them around. But yeah,
Yeah. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Women inspiring each other and themselves.
Yeah.
We love that.
We love that. We stan.
We stan.
Now, it's coming towards the end of our show, and I'm going to play one last track. And funnily enough, I was speaking to Jazz about this. This was entirely on accident, but I think it's a really beautiful accident. Every single track that we will be playing or have played tonight is actually by at least one trans woman. I mean, like, we had a band of multiple trans women in the first one, Sports Bra, of course, but like Left at London, trans, Sports Bra, trans. And we are now playing a song by Emily, otherwise known as Seishun, from her new album Oblique. And this track is called Out. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Hardcore Classic with the Sweet Boys and Goyles. Sweet Boys and Goyles. Because it's International Women's Day.
It's actually International Ghouls Day.
It's actually International Gargoyles Day.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Shouts out to my gargoyles. Stay tuned for Hardcore Classic. This is Out by Seishun. My name is Ruby Innes.
And I'm Jazz Breen.
And you've been listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SER 107.3. Bye.